We've been working through this study over the course of the last couple weeks now called Inward, and we're going to continue in that this morning. As we begin this morning, I want you to think if you have ever had something happen to you that you were pretty sure that you were over. Like you, something you had experienced maybe, and you've worked through it, you've pushed it aside, and it's you're pretty sure that you've gone beyond it until you hear somebody mention that name. And then you can take that perfectly good day that you're having, and you've been doing really well just focusing on what you're supposed to be doing, but that person's name that you see somewheres or is brought up in a conversation, it suddenly makes you begin to think of whatever the situation was that involved them in the past. And the conversation maybe, or the situation starts replaying in your mind. It's amazing how heavy something can be even when nobody else sees us carrying it. Some of you are here probably about a year ago now, is my guess. That's my recollection, at least. When I asked for a volunteer to come up and hold a bucket of rocks, and it was either Landon or Mason. Mason came up and held this bucket of rocks on the platform for us as I preached, and he just held them like this. And at that time, what we were talking about, if you remember, is we were talking about the need to depend on each other. Like God puts other people in our lives so we don't have to carry this heavy load by ourselves. And Mason did an incredible job. He held on to that for the majority of the sermon. And eventually came to a point where he had to set it down, right? Because he needed the help of somebody else. Kind of in that same thinking, today I want you to imagine that when you walked in the doors, and hopefully you were greeted by somebody when you came in the doors. If you walked in the doors, imagine the greeter handed you a backpack, and that backpack has like four or five large rocks inside of it. And you are supposed to carry it into the worship center, and you're supposed to wear it on your back. And we're going to encourage that you take it home with you and that you wear it for the rest of the day and then throughout the week that's ahead. And if we told you to do that, the question, and the fair question that would come up is why am I still carrying this? Well, now I want you to imagine that each rock that's in your backpack represents someone. The name of somebody who betrayed you. The name of somebody who has rejected you. Maybe it's the name of somebody that you've been divorced from, or the name of a family member that hurt you deeply. Maybe it's the name of somebody that said something so horrible to you or about you. Maybe it's the name of somebody that's sitting in this room right now with you. Maybe it's the name of somebody that owes you an apology that you'll probably never receive. I want you to understand this. The person who hurt you may not even know that you're still carrying that rock in your backpack. They may have just moved on with life. They may be sleeping just fine at night, but you're still carrying the weight of that hurt. And that's where our Inward series is taking us today. We began by asking the question of who's calling the shots in my life, who's sitting on the throne of my life. And then we asked, is there enough evidence in my life to prove that I'm actually a follower of Jesus Christ? Today, we're We're going after something that can stay hidden much longer in our lives. See, we can come and we can worship on a Sunday morning. We can come and serve during the course of the week. We can give, we can pray, we can smile at people in the lobby as they come in while still carrying an unforgiving heart. So the question today is not simply, has somebody hurt me? If you've lived long enough, you know very well that the answer to that is yes. The deeper question is this: what is that hurt becoming inside of me? Let's open with a word of prayer before we get into looking at God's word. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, help us to look inward. Keep us from thinking about the person beside us or the person that we wish was here this morning to hear this message. Search our hearts. Show us what we are carrying, where bitterness has taken root, and where resentment has been allowed to stay. Give us courage to be honest with ourselves and grace to respond to you this morning, I pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want us to get started by acknowledging that bitterness can become part of us when we keep rehearsing the injury. I think that this is really where it all starts at. That's number one. Bitterness can become part of us when we keep rehearsing the injury. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. You're going to find that on page 829. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." Notice Paul's language. He doesn't say to learn to live with bitterness. He doesn't say keep it under control so that nobody notices the bitterness. He says, get rid of it all. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. This is important because bitterness rarely stays in one little corner of our lives. It spreads. It spreads like a nasty disease. Somebody hurts us, and the hurt is real. You may have been betrayed. You may have been abandoned, abused, embarrassed, maybe deeply disappointed in somebody that you dearly love. Pain is not proof that you're spiritually weak. Some wounds, like, they really are wounds. They hurt. Here's the difference between remembering what happened and rehearsing what happened. Rehearsing is when we keep playing the scene over and over again in our minds. Rehearsing is when we begin to say that rehearsing is when we like actually are putting the words into the mouths of the person that said them to us as we're thinking about it in our heads. We remember exactly what they say. We imagine what they should have said to us, what we would have preferred them to say. And we have arguments with them in our heads. Every replay gives the anger another little shot of oxygen to keep growing. And eventually, we can almost start introducing ourselves, at least initially by the wound that we've had, right? Like, I'm the person whose spouse betrayed him. I'm the person whose parents failed them. I'm the person who got pushed out of them. I'm the person who everybody talks about. The injury becomes a part of our identity. And here's the danger in that. We can become more committed to remembering what somebody did to us than remembering what Jesus has done for us. That's the danger. So let me give you an inward question to consider. What offense do you keep rehearsing? Whose name changes your mood? If you're driving down the road and somebody pulls up next to you and you look over, who is it that kind of puts you into a little bit of a bad mood? Because that might be a clue that a wound has started to grow roots. Bitterness can become part of us when we keep rehearsing the injury. Secondly, this morning, forgiveness does not mean pretending the wrong was not wrong. Like, that's not what I'm asking you to do. It's not what the Word of God asks you to do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, page 834, just turn over a few pages. Colossians 3, chapter 13, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Like, this is a principle that if you grew up in the church, is a principle you grew up knowing, right? That we forgive, that that's what we are called to do. It's easy for us to say that it's the principle we're called to do. It's much harder for us to do this in reality. One reason people resist forgiveness is because we sometimes don't understand it correctly, I think. We think forgiving somebody means saying it wasn't that big of a deal. And that is not biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness does not call evil good or erase consequences. It does not require you to return to an unsafe situation. Or give somebody who repeatedly broke trust with you the same access to you that they had before. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Forgiveness can be given. Trust has to be rebuilt. Reconciliation, right? That requires two people to be willing to work on the relationship. Forgiveness, it can begin in one heart before the other person ever changes. That means that there can be forgiveness and boundaries at the same time. There can be forgiveness and consequences. I want you to hear me on this. There can even be forgiveness when the wisest thing is to keep some distance. Sometimes as believers, we tell hurting people, you just need to forgive. And we say it in a way that kind of minimizes what has happened. Jesus never asks us to pretend sin doesn't matter. Like, when we look at the cross, right? Forgiveness is costly. Sin is serious. Forgiveness says what you did was wrong. It hurt. It may have changed our relationship and maybe forever, but I'm no longer going to spend my life like demanding that you personally pay me back. Romans 12 tells us not to take revenge. In other words, I stop trying to sit in God's chair. Justice is in God's hands. Sometimes that decision has to be made more than once, the decision to forgive. You may forgive today and wake up tomorrow with that memory still there. I think feelings can oftentimes take much longer to catch up with what we're trying to do in regards to offering forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness is a decision that we just got to keep bringing back to Jesus, offering it to him out of obedience. Forgiveness does not mean pretending the wrong was not wrong at all. Hear me on that. But we also need to understand that thirdly, refusing to forgive, it keeps us emotionally connected to the offense or the offender. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 33, it says, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" The words of Jesus. Jesus comes, or Peter comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and asks this question. He says, "How many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to forgive somebody?" And then he suggests to Jesus, he says, "How about 7 times? And I think at that point, he's thinking that he's being pretty generous in his offer to Jesus on how many times he's going to forgive. And Jesus' answer, he answers in a way that makes it clear that forgiveness is not supposed to be something that we just check off and there's 5 boxes or 10 boxes, and once they've hit the end of that check card, they're done with. It's not a scorecard where we keep track until they've ran out of chances. And then Jesus goes on in that same passage and he tells about a servant who owes a king an enormous debt that he can never repay. And the servant begs for mercy. And the king cancels the debt. And as you guys know the story, many of you do, the man walks away from the king and then he runs into a man who owes him an enormous debt. And what does he do? What does he do? Does he forgive the debt? No. The man who had just received mercy from this king, he finds somebody that owes him this far less debt than what he owed. He grabs him and he demands payment from him. The second man asks for mercy. He almost used the same words as the first man did. And the mercy's refused. I think what makes this story interesting, disturbing, whatever you want to call it, is that a man who had just received this incredible mercy could walk outside and immediately refuse to offer that mercy to somebody else. I think sometimes in our heads we tell ourselves that unforgiveness can almost feel like power. Like we think, I'll never let them off the hook. We're in control of kind of keeping that power. But refusing to release somebody so often keeps us tied to that person. A person can hurt you 10 years ago. They can move far away from you and still ruin your Tuesday because somebody mentioned their name. Who's in control? When we forgive, we allow for there to be separation from that pain. When we don't forgive, it's almost like you're taking a rope and tying it around yourself and the other person. You're holding yourselves together. How many parents in here ever used one of those, what do you call it, a get-along shirt with your kids? Right, your kids are driving you crazy, so what do you get? You get an extra large size shirt, you write get-along shirt on it, and you put it over both the kids, and they got to wear it around and hang out together for an hour. Right? That's what you're doing when you don't offer forgiveness to somebody that has hurt you. You're wearing a get-along shirt with them. You might be saying, like, I want nothing to do with that person, but emotionally, you carry them with to work with you, to dinner with you, into your marriage, into your new friendships. Forgiveness is not saying they deserve freedom from the responsibility of what they did. It is deciding that you want freedom from resentment. It's loosening your grip on the rope that ties you together. Refusing to forgive keeps us emotionally connected to the offense or to the offender. The last thought I'll share this morning is that we need to forgive from the grace that we've received, not because the offender deserves it. Sometimes this can be helpful for us. I want you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. So we were there for the first point. Turn back there if you move from there. Ephesians chapter 4, it's going to be page 829. We read verse 31. We're just going to read the next verse. Verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I really think that this is the part that changes everything for a follower of Jesus. Christian forgiveness does not begin by staring at the person who hurt us and asking whether they deserve mercy. It begins by looking at Jesus. If I wait until somebody deserves forgiveness, I may wait forever. There's like a real debt there, we often feel. They shouldn't have done whatever they did to us. They should apologize. They should make it right. Maybe they will. But you know what? Maybe they never will. But Paul says, we forgive as the Lord forgave us. That forces us to think about something a little bit uncomfortable. I am not only a person who has been sinned against, I'm also a person who has sinned. I have needed mercy. I have needed second chances and grace that I did not deserve. And if you're a follower of Christ, you have needed mercy. You have needed second chances. You have needed grace that you didn't deserve. The cross does not make what happened to you smaller. It makes God's grace bigger. And when I stand at the cross, the question starts to change. Instead of only asking, how can they deserve my forgiveness? We begin asking, how can I, after receiving so much grace, refuse to let that grace work through me and flow out of me to other people? Colossians 3 tells us to put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, and then to forgive. See, forgiveness is being like Jesus. I think few things really display Christ's transforming power more clearly than somebody who had reason to become bitter, but refuses to let bitterness win. Doesn't make you weak. Doesn't make you naive. It means the person who hurts you does not get to decide the kind of person that you will be in the future. You're actually gaining control through forgiving. So here's the response that I'm going to invite you to this morning. And it's simple. I want you to think of one person. One person. Not five, not everybody that's ever irritated you. One person. Who's the person that you're still carrying in your backpack? Maybe the hurt happened last month. Maybe it happened 30 years ago. Maybe the person's in your family. Maybe the person used to be a friend. Maybe the person's no longer living. It's the beauty of forgiveness. They don't need to be living for you to forgive what was done to you. Maybe they apologized. Maybe they never will. Take a piece of paper or open up your phone. Write that name down. Don't show it to anybody. It's just for you. And then pray for willingness to forgive and move ahead. And you're going to notice I said, pray for willingness. Some of you may not be ready to say, Lord, I feel completely free and everything is fine and I forgive them. But maybe you can honestly pray, Jesus, I want to be willing to let it go. Help me become willing. Like, that's a real prayer. Then ask God what a healthy next step looks like. That healthy next step for you, it might be a conversation, it might be some counseling, it might be a boundary that needs to be set. It might be praying for somebody who you haven't been able to pray for in years. It may simply mean that when the old story starts playing again in your head, you hand it back to God instead of feeding it. The truth is, this morning, you may walk out of here and still hurt. Forgiveness does not erase memory. And healing does not always happen quickly. But there is a difference between feeling pain and feeling bitterness. Like going back to the backpack from the beginning, Jesus is not telling you the rock is not heavy. He's not telling you it never should have hurt. He is asking why you would keep carrying something he's inviting you to set down. First week of this series, we asked who is calling the shots. Last week we talked about, is there evidence in my life that I'm a follower? Today the question, I think, is even more personal. Is there someone I am refusing to forgive or release? Now, if you've been zoned out the whole service and missed everything I've said till now, check in right now. I want you to hear this. You cannot change what has happened. You cannot force an apology. You cannot make another person repent of what they've done to you. But with the help of Jesus, write this down if you take notes. With the help of Jesus, it's going to be on the screen. You can decide this. The person who hurt me will not control the person I become. That's a big statement. The person who hurt me will not control the person I become. So write down that name. Bring that hurt honestly to Jesus. Release your demand for revenge and choose to forgive. Take that next healthy step and begin putting down that weight that you carry for no reason. A couple weeks ago, we closed with a prayer where I asked you to just in your hearts pray along with me if it was an honest prayer for you. So what we did that week, because I didn't want you to just assume it's going to be an honest prayer for you, is we read through the prayer first because I took the time to write it down. I'm doing the same thing this morning. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to put the prayer on the screen. I'm going to read through it. I want you to listen to the words. And then once I'm done reading through it, I'm going to have you bow your heads. And if you can honestly pray this prayer, I want you to pray this prayer this morning. Jesus, you know what happened to me. You know the parts of the story I have told other people and the parts I've never told anyone. You know what hurt, what was taken from me, and what I still wish had been different. Right now, I bring before you the person I have struggled to forgive. I name that person before you. Lord, I am not saying what happened was right. I am not pretending it did not matter. But I do not want this offense controlling my heart anymore. Forgive me for the times I have rehearsed the injury. I fed the anger or secretly wanted the other person to hurt because I hurt. Thank you for the mercy that you have given me through Jesus. Today, as best I know how, I release my demand for personal revenge. I put justice into your hands. Where I need boundaries, give me wisdom. Where reconciliation is possible, give me courage. Where healing will take time, give me patience. And if I am not fully willing to forgive yet, Lord, make me willing to become willing. I do not want bitterness to have the final word in my life. Heal what has been wounded. Soften what has become hard. Free my heart from the weight I have been carrying and make me more like Jesus. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray that prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning. There's somebody you need to forgive. And you can do that. I encourage you to pray along. If you know you need to have a willing heart, and that's your prayer. God, give me willingness. I want you to pray along with me this morning. If you're going to pray along with me this morning, would you just make eye contact with me? Yeah. Yeah, we're not alone. Absolutely. Let's pray. Jesus, you know what happened to me. You know the parts of the story I have told other people and the parts that I've never told anyone. You know what hurt. What was taken from me. And what I still wish had been different. Right now, I bring before you the person I have struggled to forgive. I name that person before you. Lord, I am not saying what happened was right. I am not pretending it did not matter, but I do not want this offense controlling my heart anymore. Father, forgive me for the times I have rehearsed the injury, fed the anger, secretly wanted the other person to hurt because I hurt. Thank you for the mercy you have given me through Jesus. Lord God, today, as best I know how, I release my demand for personal vengeance. I put justice into your hands. Where I need boundaries, give me wisdom. Where reconciliation is possible, give me courage. Where healing will take time, give me patience. And if I'm not fully willing to forgive yet, Lord, make me willing to become willing. I do not want bitterness to have the final word in my life. Heal what has been wounded. Soften what has become hard. Free my heart from the weight I have been carrying. Make me more like Jesus.